I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, all righty. Item number three will be approval of today's agenda. Any changes? Mark, come on up.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. Story County Commission meeting. It's the 1st of October, 2013. This is discussion before action item number three, approval of today's agenda. And before you approve today's agenda, I have a few concerns. And let's say this is about exemptions. So let's start at the back. Item number 13H, Comstock Civil War reenactment, is up for a second reading on nonprofit. As of yesterday, there was no evidence that an exemption has been filed with the Secretary of State's office. We'll go down to community development planning. Item number 12, no action per TRI development agreement. That development agreement was, as of yesterday, unavailable in the packet. And in the map used as supporting document, it wasn't clear and misleading. It took me all day to find out that development agreement is in the planning department, and there is no reference to that in the packet. So I would say that should be continued if the development agreement is unavailable today. Items number 9 and 10, I appreciate Mr. Quigley, but after the last few meetings, the policy is clear that a commissioner, the county manager, has to fill out the agenda item forms, and nothing in the packet about a commissioner or the county manager approving item number 9 or number 10. Thank you.
Anyone else? Motion.
Do you have any intention of pulling any of those off to be heard separately?
Just for the record, item number 12 is a routine piece of business that we've been conducting this way
for decades.
Okay.
At this time, Mr. Chairman, move for approval of today's agenda, October the 1st, 2013.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item 4, approval of minutes for July 2nd. Mark.
Thanks again, Commissioners. We're at discussion before action, item number 4, Mark Phillips for the record. Approval of the minutes for July 2nd, which was a long time ago. And going through the minutes, before you approve the minutes today, let's go to page 15. This was quite a meeting, a lot in here. Bottom of page 15 into 16. It's in regards to my concern about the clerk treasurer of ECTC being AWOL, talk of a vacancy, talk of an appointment being made. No mention of the man's name. Where is Doug McQuaid? I mean, it was an important question then. And I think it's essential for the minutes of this meeting to reflect the name Doug McQuaid. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. If not, a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the minutes for July the 2nd, 2013.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Consent agenda. Any questions, comments, consent agenda? Motion then.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of today's consent agenda.
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Item 7, staff report. Let's see. Sean, let's start with you. You got anything for us?
Yeah, I got it.
Good morning, Commissioner Sean Griffin. Just a brief update. We have $1,750 raised towards the $15,000, so we have 3 months left, and any help with that, however you can make that happen, we'd greatly appreciate it. We're about to have a big fundraising gala with our board and donors on November 8th, and we'll be continuing to get the word out to Story County residents. We also are going to be getting temporary services set up in both Mark Twain and Lockwood shortly. Any questions?
I was just thinking that perhaps when we do fundraising for the 4th of July fireworks, sometimes we put donation canisters to the local businesses. Is there any thought about trying that for raising money for the library?
We absolutely can do that. I'd be happy to do that.
I mean, sometimes it seems like a lot of work for a little bit of money, but sometimes it pans out, you know.
Sure. Like libraries and some of the businesses on, or I mean, post office and some of the businesses on C Street?
Because our business will participate.
Absolutely. Consider it done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other ideas, thoughts?
Senior center, community center, coffee cans.
We'll take care of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I gave my $100. He hasn't given his $1,000.
Well, have I yet, Mark? Have you received that, Sean, yet? Checks in the mail.
You acknowledge that I sent you my $100.
Thank you.
Reiner.
Marshall, you had...
I did. Sunday morning, this last Sunday morning, early, before my place of business on C Street before we opened, I had the unfortunate opportunity to witness a medical emergency.
Uh-huh.
And that ended up in a heart attack, which was a full-blown cardiac arrest. So I've been involved with the Sheriff's Department many years ago, and I was a member of the Fire Department here for a lot of years. I'm no longer affiliated with those departments, but it goes to show that we had two people. We weren't even open for business yet, and we had two people who were, one's a volunteer fireman from Fallon, and another young gentleman, and these are both locals of Virginia City, who was going to nursing school. And they witnessed the attack and immediately started CPR. And upon dialing 911 using Story County's dispatch, moments later, both sheriff's deputies and fire department paramedics and battalion chief arrived on the scene. Now, I've seen a lot of action over the years, and this was the most impressive professional operation I've ever seen. It was like the deputies and the paramedics had rehearsed this over and over again. It was like a well-oiled machine, and they were able to stabilize this gentleman and get him down to be transported by helicopter to a local hospital where he's resting uncomfortably right now because he's in a lot of pain by having his sternum broken and all of the trauma that he went through. But he's alive today due to the expertise of our local deputies and paramedics. So a lot has to be said for the training they go through, and I think the way that these departments are run by the department heads, the sheriff, and the fire chief. So I wanted everybody to know that, because a lot of times you don't get to witness that, and a lot of times you sit in these commissioners' meetings with us and you hear residents complain about how they don't think we need a fire department or an ambulance service. And this couldn't be further from the truth, especially if you talk to the man who's alive today because of the dedicated service. So,
yep.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Denise, why don't you come up and give us a little rundown on what you've got going there?
My name is Denise Victorine, and I'm a resident of Mark Twain. Good morning, gentlemen. I want to thank you for in advance for considering these four areas of concern I have for the community center down there. The first one, I would like to make a request to the commission to consider allocating a funding for a one-time mailer to the Mark Twain residents. The mailer would be a brief introduction to and about, or a brief introduction about the community center, that it is up and running. Another section would state the meetings that are scheduled October 15th. There's a school board meeting, so this letter would have to go out rather quickly. The 17th, the Planning Commission plans a workshop, and they really value the input from the residents down there. And then the 11th of December and the 13th of November, those will be community meetings to be announced, perhaps, if we don't have a topic of discussion. And then the third area of this letter that I would like to send out to the residents would be, what level of interest do they have in participating on committees or helping to get programs going? Because at the 8-1 meeting that was attended, well attended actually, it generated approximately 15 or so electronic contact information from people, and probably some physical addresses as well. But that was only one segment of the population that attended. The other segment that I am able to reach is through the graciousness of the food program, okay? And I have used that as a conduit to get information to the people of various things. I've already informed them of the school board meeting, the Planning Commission, and tell them I want to see them there. I'll keep them updated. And at the last food program last Wednesday, I asked them, I had an audience of 20 people, but a total of 36 people participated that day. The first audience of 20, I said, I really need contact information for you people for the community center for purposes. The only purpose is to contact you about upcoming meetings, programs, you know, to enlist your volunteerism and help us get the community center up and running. And out of a total of 36, I got 3 email addresses, which is fine. But there were several comments in that first group of 20, we don't have a computer at home. And I realized that that is a hindrance. And by the graciousness of some forthcoming donations, you know, hopefully we can help take care of that problem for some of those that would like to have internet access or even be able to learn to use a computer. Okay, but that's on down the road. And then regarding sending out a mailer, on 8/14 there was a community meeting, and at this time I am not aware of any addresses for electronic purposes that we may have received or not. I haven't been updated on that, okay? But I do feel that in trying to make the community center successful. I am looking for a way to reach out to the community other than by word of mouth, and I feel that we are missing a portion of the population that may be interested in participating and helping to get things up and running if we don't send out the old-fashioned United States Postal Service mail. But, you know, that's okay. So if you would consider that, I would sure appreciate that, and that is the first item, okay? The second item is in talking with some of the residents, I have generated interest from a gentleman named Mr. John Beal. He has contributed some ideas for community activities, and he's got some great ones. Can you imagine desert golf course? And I have envisioned working with Parks and Recreation to develop some little course out there around that slash pile, hitting golf balls, and they hit a rock and off you go, you know. But anyway, it's just an idea. But he has come up with several ideas. Along with Julie Way is just filled with people that one lady, she is considering instruction for knitting and crocheting. If we can develop an interest in that with some of the people, the problem is communicating with the people and being able to contact them, okay? Another resident up there on Julie Way, she wants to develop a curriculum for cooking, baking, cake decorating, and candy making. And so we have people out there that are interested in participating, but once again, communication resources at this point are limited, and that's why I'm asking for you to consider a one-time mailer to the residents out there. Bingo has been discussed, and I actually have become aware of a resident that is employed at the local casino who actually calls bingo. And so I'm going to approach her if this program is a go, that maybe she might like to come down and assist us and help get the party started, so to speak, that way. But by engaging the residents with a traditional mail delivery, I think that might be helpful at this point in getting some community interest, maybe soliciting for volunteers for help for us down there. And perhaps it could help promote the activity down there, or at least spark some interest with the people that have not been contacted yet by either of the other three types of programs. Okay, so that's one. The second thing is, I noticed on the website that Rainbow Bend, Lockwood, different areas around, they acquire copies of the agenda and minutes for the residents, and then they actually have a hard copy posted in their community centers and places. And I would like to do that as well down in Mark Twain, so as we get some interest going, at least the people have something to look at so they can become familiar with what goes on up here. And my question about that is, do I discuss acquiring this from the clerk's office? Okay, because I don't really know. And then the third item today, gentlemen, is, and this is probably just for informational purposes for yourself. When I became aware of the propane company, Ferrellgas, and that there was a contract with Story County and how it benefited the residents as well, I got real excited. And lo and behold, National Night Out's coming up. Well, I was able to persuade Mr. Jay Reed to come over and participate at National Night Out. He was good enough to put in a raffle prize, and we raffled off a the prize was for 100 gallons of free propane. Okay, so you know everybody was clamoring after that one, so that was huge. But when he came, he had these wonderful flyers, and to generate new accounts in Story County, and this, I discussed this with him, hey, let's get these, let's make it profitable for you, good for the county, and it can save the residents quite a bit of money at their reduced prices, okay, through the contract. He made up this information thing for the residents, and they picked it up, and I also picked up the remainder of these and told the food program clients about this and got them all enthused. $1.50 a gallon first fill. Plus, there was a free tank change out if you were with another company. Oh my gosh, you can't beat this. And that was great. And then yesterday I got a call from one of my neighbors who I enlisted in switching over, and she was charged $1.60 a gallon, and she called the office and tried to discuss it, and the lady, she was told, when you get your bill, you know, call us back. She got the bill, she called back, and that individual is no longer with the company. And she was told, I'm sorry, we can't help you. No, Judy, this isn't right. I said, I am going to the commissioners tomorrow. I will bring it to their attention. And I feel in part responsible because I was promoting this for the residents. So I will contact Feral Gas myself. But if there is any, I'll take care of it. If I have any questions, may I contact you?
Please.
Thank you.
If you have any problems, contact me.
Huh?
If you have any problems, contact me, okay?
Okay.
We'll make it right one way or another.
Because I feel badly that there's been a miscommunication or an accounting error somehow. I'm confident that it can be corrected. And so it's just a matter of, you know, going through the steps to make these corrections. Okay, the last item, number four, that I have for you gentlemen is probably, it's important to me. And it is regarding the use permit that was presented at a meeting. There is a resident that is serious about after-school tutoring. And that is so valuable for the community and the children down there. And it would be such a great addition. Okay, so what I am looking for today is for your assistance with a determination if a more comprehensive assessment should be included before we approve this use permit for the after-school tutoring. And in consideration of safeguarding the county's interest and against potential liability, as well as in keeping in compliance with state and federal guidelines and regulations, in addition to and due to their vulnerability, that of the children, protecting the rights of the children and keeping them safe from harm, would it be appropriate to align with current policy and procedure as with, say, new employees with Story County that perhaps may be working with children or maybe in general, I'm not sure about that, for anyone working with children be required to fingerprint for the purpose of a background check at the state and federal level in addition to drug screening. And with your information, Mr. McBride, story you shared with us earlier, I even have, as well as having a current CPR first aid certification with children. You never know when they can fall off them chairs and injure themselves or do something like that. Anyway, as a guide, I use the Story County Administration Policy and Procedures, Use of Public Buildings and Property, Section 3 Procedure, Subsection B6, where it says any additional information which deemed reasonably necessary to a fair determination of the application. Okay, and then also there may be an issue of liability as far as personal liability for the children, for the county, for this woman that is graciously giving of her time to help with the development of the children. So that those two are my, also D2 mentioned something about liability insurance, okay? So in summary, what is in the best interest of the county and the public welfare and for the protection and safety of the children when you will make a determination about this, okay? And that's all I know today.
Well, you've laid about 2 weeks worth of work on the whole staff.
Oh, as if you fellows aren't busy enough.
If I can address at least the first one, the others will have to go through the processes and everything. And I'll definitely tell you if you have any issues with Jay Reed, let me know. If you have any issues with Jay Reed, let me know. Okay. But as far as allocating for a one-time mailer, Desi, would you raise your hand for just a minute? Okay, that's Desi Redmond.
Hello, Desi.
She's our planner. And if you exchange contact information with her before you leave today, she'll help you on getting the list and getting the mailings out. Okay, we've been aggressively notifying the community down there of the upcoming Planning Commission workshop on the master plan. So if you work with Desi, she'll gladly get a mailer going for you or help you with the postal funds. We budgeted and anticipated items like this in the budget as we created it last March and April. So
okay.
We're good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sean, come on.
Got
it. I'm done. Okay, thanks.
A couple things to ease your mind. We can easily partner with Denise and the community center to do the umbrella to help with the tutoring, and then that person can fall under our liability and not cause any grief to anybody, and they can do what they need to do so long as they're trained and they're good. And secondly, on the billboard, on the word getting out to the community, I realize most folks do not have internet or computer access, and a simple solution, because they all have to come in or out, would be a small billboard right by the community center that list the things that are going to happen each week, and everyone would be able to see that. And you could mount it right on your existing building. You wouldn't have to spend a lot of money. You could just change out the letters every week or every day that there was an event, until which time there's a simpler way to get internet access and computers for people. And that's just a simple, low-cost solution. But the former vis-a-vis the tutoring, we can partner and make that happen simply and easily.
I'd like to suggest that when you send out your flyer, that you ask that these people respond to you by electronic means, by email, to let you know what their email address is, because when people fill these things out by hand, sometimes their writing is illegible. In addition to that, there's all kinds of free email that's out there through Google or Yahoo or that, and they can acquire those for free. And though even though some of these people don't have computers or have home telephones, almost everybody has a cell phone now, and they can access their email via their cell phone. Not everybody can, but most people can these days. So even though they don't have computer access, they can still get email by cell phone. So those are avenues for them to get more in touch, to get your communication lined up down there.
Okay. With respect to what Sean has suggested about the sign, a gentleman named Mark Fain, no, Nick? Nick Fain, of whom I have not had the pleasure of meeting yet, is supposed to be working on some signage and some sort of billboard or something out there where the old fire station sign was. Okay, so that is in the works. Okay. All right, thank you.
Do we get you covered on everything there, Denise?
We'll work on what's not covered.
Yeah.
Like I said, we'll work on the agenda. There's.
Sorry, did you say something to me?
Well, yeah, we'll work on the rest of it for you.
Oh, I sure appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's see. I got. Hugh.
James, in
it. Yeah,
I hate him.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. A little bit of good news and a little bit of bad news. Effective today, Sierra Pacific Power is increasing their rates. Or should we say NV Energy or whomever their conglomerate is. Pretty much across the board, anywhere from 1 to 4%. Their increases on various things from street lights to communications to everything else. They are going to have another one effective January 1st, 2014 to recoup all of their out-of-pocket operational expenses, capital asset stuff, and as we know with public utilities, they can charge off pretty much 99% of whatever they spend, regardless of whether it's a fixed asset or not. So that is kind of the bad news. On the good news side, I'd like to thank you again for taking your time out on Friday to approve our lender, which, if nobody knows it now, is going to be Wells Fargo for the new the USDA interim debenture of about $3,002,000. It has been awarded to Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo has had by far the best fixed rate, of which I do prefer over variable, and they will at some point in time, when we get a okay from the Bureau of Land Mismanagement, we will be able to start that process post haste. So, again, thank you very much.
Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. For the record, Mike Nevin, Public Works Director. Just a few items here of interest to the board and the audience. The crack sealing project on Cartwright, Lostown, and Six Mile Canyon Roads has been completed as of yesterday. This week we'll spend some time doing some shoulder work, especially along areas of Lostown Road, where we've got some pretty heavy vegetation that's creeped into some of the corners, makes it a little bit difficult to see at times. And then also in preparation of our oil flush seal that we're going to accomplish next week. And that flush sealing will take place along these three roads on Tuesday and Wednesday next week, of course, weather permitting. And right now it looks like we have cooperating weather, so it shouldn't be an issue. But there will be some delays, traffic delays, and we'll have some controlled traffic with pilot cars on some of these routes. So I'll get the word out to Rennell and get something posted on our social media network as well. Last meeting, I had mentioned that we had some leak issues on the Silver City water line. that run along the hillside east of State Route 342 and just opposite the CMI Lucerne Resource Area down there. Last Monday, we had yet another on that same line in about the same vicinity. So we, being proactive, went ahead and reduced pressures in that line by about 20 PSI and hoping that that'll help, as this is an old line that's in deteriorating condition and it's scheduled for replacement as soon as, you know, funding becomes available. So just to keep you apprised of those that's occurring there. Last week, I received an email confirmation from NV Energy that our application for the additional street lights in the vicinity of the Louise Perry Park was received and has been assigned to a project coordinator, so hopefully we'll see some movement soon on that project. And then finally, last Monday, staff held a meeting with folks from the State Historic Preservation Office to discuss potential for applying for some additional grant funds from both the Cultural Affairs and Historic Preservation Grant programs for work on this historic structure, our county courthouse. It was pretty much agreed that roof issues that date back at least to 2008-2009, as well as the water issues and leakage problems that we've got along the front facade associated with the roof, should be looked into and addressed in one of these grant applications. So it's likely that we'll apply for cultural affairs funding for the roof, the front facade, leak issues, the flagpole. Let's see how we fare out there. And then also it was made mention that we have the ability to apply for additional historic preservation funding, and we'll be looking at doing that for completion of a seismic retrofit study that was started some time back but never completed. And that'll give us kind of a footprint on where we need to go with some other retrofits that would be important to this building. If you don't have any questions, that's all I got. Bill?
Two things. I see got guys out there in Lost Town this morning working. If you have enough way to pull that congested area sign and pole and everything out of the ground there at the Lost Town and 341 when you're...
We can certainly do that, sure.
Yeah. That references some kind of code that we don't even have anymore.
Yeah. Somebody had questioned that a while back, too.
Yeah. So just get rid of that thing. It is confusing. It's not really. And then what are you going to use, the grader to whack out all of the willows and stuff?
Yeah, we've got the grader and loaders out there, and then Gary has allowed us to take that debris, most of it vegetation, and we'll stockpile it down there for his chipper program alongside the firehouse.
I got a couple of phone calls on visual.
Yeah, there's some areas, especially where those willows have kind of creeped up into those corners. So hopefully we'll address that this week.
Did you get a copy of that NDOT report, the photos?
Yeah, I did. I took a look at it. You know,
are you going to pull any shoulders on any of those where it looks like it's starting to undermine the...
Well, where you saw the photos, Commissioner McBride, most of that is on the property owner's section, that 2 miles of Cartwright.
Is it? See, I look at the pictures and there's no...
Yeah, you'd have to really know where there are before you get it, but most of those are on that, their 2 miles
kind
section.
Of GIS markers or anything on them, so...
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, thanks, sir. James, do you have anything for staff other than your agenda item?
No, sir.
Okay. Sheriff?
Just real quickly, an update from street vibrations that just wrapped up. From a public safety perspective, definitely mark it in the wind column. I think volumes were a little bit down this year from past years. However, that being said, we still had a whole bunch of folks through town over the course of the weekend. During that time, we responded to 200 incidents, wound up making 3 misdemeanor arrests, and only had 1 traffic accident. So my book, that's a win with that volume of people. So any questions?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairman, Commission members. For the record, Dusty Redmond, Story County Planner. A few items for you today. We made some good headway on a nuisance on Howard Street, which I'm excited about. Property has been cleaned up quite significantly. Unfortunately, there are some things still blocking the right-of-way, so we're not quite finished, but we're making some good headway. Like Denise mentioned, we are having a master plan workshop at the Mark Twain Community Center October 17th at 6 p.m. The planning team is kicking into gear efforts for the housing chapter of the master plan, working with the assessor's office to run some queries so we can pull some data within the county. And so as we eventually update this master plan every 5 years, we'll be able to compare data and see how the county is changing and provide recommendations on housing needs. And let's see. Something very exciting to announce is that C Street has been awarded as one of the 10 great streets designated by the American Planning Association, APA. This is a very exciting award as places are selected annually and represent the gold standard in terms of having a true sense of place, culture, and a historical interest, community involvement, and a vision for tomorrow. So the official announcement will be made on Friday, and in a meeting to come, an APA representative will be here to present the award to the community. So it's pretty big and very exciting. And just continuing working on the lot consolidation ordinance and the tattoo ordinance. So hopefully those will be coming to you soon. Any questions?
Jesse, can you go ahead and talk about the event on Friday a little bit?
Actually, we weren't quite able to pull that all together. An APA member couldn't make it here for that. So unfortunately, that's, yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Got anything, Bell, for us?
No, I went to Laughlin and I'm back.
Better you than me.
Yeah. the bad news is I had to spend last week there. The good news is, as old as I am, I'll probably never have to go there again.
Do you have anything, Bob?
Oh, yes. A couple things, just to follow up on Commissioner McBride's firsthand observations of the cardiac. One thing Chief Haynes shared with the focus team this morning is that was the paramedic that ultimately responded, that was his third straight day of working. So he's into his 72nd hour at that stage.
Wow.
Due to a vacancy in the fire department. Of course, they do sleep. But and he was even amazed at that. Sheriff Antonoro was there as well and couldn't believe it. So it was a bad event with a great outcome. Stacy Buccianeri and I participated as a result of the NACO conference. There was a much maligned program that Secretary of State Miller put out during the legislative session called the Silver Flume, or the Business Portal, Business License Portal. And during the NACO conference, I attended a session, and they corrected every bad PR information that ever got out there. This was going to cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars. False. It was problem-plagued, and I had James take a look at their proposal, their phase one that does not obligate us to in any way to phase two or phase three. Is so low-tech that there's no involvement, and we can actually, the whole end objective of jumping on the phase one bandwagon is it makes it simpler on our business customers to apply for a business license, not so much as a one-stop shop, but they have to get a state license anyway. And if they start with the state license and give them the required information that the state needs, we can use that information ourselves and save them hand cramps at the very least from having to fill out that much more on an application. So expect a memorandum of understanding probably in the next 60 days or so, or an interlocal agreement actually, because it overall, Stacy and I came away with a very positive feeling for the program. So more than likely, we're entering into what I call the slow, busy time of year with the holidays. Typically, there's not a whole lot of business to transact, but there are an awful lot of holiday schedules between the various boards and groups that we all sit on, and everybody has a whole lot of things to do, not just at the table, but out there and everywhere. So oftentimes what we do is compress a meeting or two. At this stage of the game, unless I hear different from the commission, I will more than likely plan on waiving off a first meeting in November. That would be November 5th, in deference to the second meeting. Let me know if there are any concerns with that. And lastly, Commissioner McBride will be off the Hill and on the Hill and has asked me to be a bodyguard. So as an elected official, he's not confused with the 535 people in Washington, D.C. that can't seem to get it straight right now. But Marshall and I have been asked to go back to Washington, D.C. And testify before a House subcommittee on H.R. 1167. That's Congressman Amaday's public lands bill, the Restoring Story County Act, that hopefully, if it passes, it's a long process, would clarify 150 years worth of problems with the titles in Virginia City and Gold Hill. So that bill is alive, but it's scheduled before a subcommittee hearing is an excellent signal and step. So much as I hate to say it, we look forward to going back there if we go back there, because at the same time, you know, all the emails and phone calls back and forth are, we don't think our part of this is shut down, so we should be there tomorrow or Thursday, but we'll let you know Thursday. So that's it.
When you come back all crippled up, riding in that sewer pipe for 5 hours.
And that's it.
Okay, thank you. Okay. James, I believe you and your friends are up. Thank you for your patience. Entertainment at its finest, huh?
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Debbie Ardoti, and I'm with Connect Nevada, and I'm the Community Technology Advisor for Region 1, and Story County is part of Region 1, and Lindsay Nijelski, our State Program Manager, is here as well, and you guys know James. For about the past year, I've been working with Pat and the Story County Technology team to review, analyze, look at challenges with broadband for Story County, and as a result of everyone's hard work on the team, we now have developed a technology action plan, and I'd like to provide you with a short overview of that plan. Just to introduce you, Connect Nevada has been around for a few years, and we work with the Governor's Broadband Task Force. We work hand in hand with them. And through the community assessment, there are three areas that we look at. We look at access, adoption, and use. Access, we're looking to see if the infrastructure's there. Adoption, we're looking to see if the residents are using the technology that's available to them. And use, are the residents using technology to improve the quality of life? Within this assessment, in each of these areas, there's a possibility of 40 points. And overall, there are 120 points if you receive all 40 points in each area. To become a certified community, which is part of the goal of the assessment, that's similar to being a green community, and it's very good for economic development, the community must reach 100 points with 32 points in each area of the assessment. So some areas will have to have more than 32 points to equal that 100. Story County overall had 84 points out of the 120, and we'll go into some of that criteria in just a minute and look and see where those numbers were. Just some pictures of Story County that you're all very familiar with. These are the these are the people that served on the team and helped to provide provide information to complete the assessment. And I would say that we had a great team here in Story County, and I enjoyed working with everybody. So what we learned, this is kind of difficult for you guys to see, but it is in your packets. In the access area, we look at broadband speeds, broadband competition, middle mile access, and mobile broadband availability. So in broadband availability, Story County received a 0 out of 100. There are areas where FCC measures broadband at 768 kilobytes download speed. We hope that someday that will be at least 3 or 4 meg. So this is measuring that speed. So there's many areas within Story County that do not get 768 or availability, I'm sorry. And then broadband speeds was 0. There's about 75% of households that have access to less than 3 megabytes for broadband speed. And competition, there is a little bit of competition within Story County. That was scored as a 1. There is some middle mile access within Story County, so that was a score of a 4. And then broadband mobile availability was scored as a 10. That's what you can get on your devices that you can take with you. Adoption, we look at digital literacy, public computing centers, broadband awareness, and vulnerable populations. Overall, there was a score of 32 out of 40 points. Digital literacy, Story County was great. They received a 10 out of 10 for their digital literacy programs. Their public computing centers, there's about 350 computer hours within all of Story County where there's a free public computer that somebody can go use. That score was 6 out of 10. And then broadband awareness, there's many campaigns within Story County that use broadband awareness to get information out to the residents. And that score was 8 out of 10. And the vulnerable populations that are served by different agencies within the community, there were 4 groups identified, and that was a score of 8 out of 10. And then under the youth area, which is economic development, education, government, and healthcare, there was 39 out of 40 points scored, which is great. There are many uses. They're measured as basic and advanced, and they're listed in the technology plan. I won't go into all of those now because of our time constraints. So overall, it's not a bad assessment. Everybody has room for improvement. We find that in all of the counties. So this gives a place to start to look at where you guys need to go. In access, we went over some of this. There's 5 last mile providers within Story County. About 70% of the households have access to 3 megabytes. About 93% of the homes in Story County have access to 1.5 megabytes, which is still a low speed, but it's better than the 768 kilobytes. There is middle mile infrastructure here, and about 100% of the homes have access to mobile broadband. Under adoption, like I said, there are 7 digital literacy programs that resulted in people graduating with some computer skills within the last year. There are 7 public computing centers available within the county where there's 15 public computers available. There's great broadband awareness campaigns. Story County does a really good job of promoting itself out there to the world through their mobile app and through your websites. And then use, there's different uses where economic development has used it. Education is great, some healthcare, and areas of government that's available, that's great as well. And again, those are listed out in your technology plan. These are some of the people that partnered with us to complete the technology plan: Story County, the Community Chest, Arizona Nevada Tower, and Tahoe Regional Industrial Center. They all helped in providing information or assisting getting information. So as a result of all of this information, the team selected some priority projects that they would like to work on for the county. This is a list of those projects, and due to our time constraints, we will, Lindsay's going to talk a little bit about public safety and some of the grants that are available out there. If you have any questions, we can address those as well. So, you know, analyzing local regulations tends to be on the, high on the list for a lot of rural counties, particularly because broadband is now seen as more or less of a luxury and more as part of infrastructure. So I know you have the planner here today, and I'm sure they recognize that broadband, as we move forward and people start losing their landlines or drop their landlines, broadband is going to be more and more an integral part of not only how your community functions and your county government functions, but also the quality of life for your residents. And, you know, as a rural community, it's really important that you have great access to internet because that's how you stay connected to the global world. So that's always high on the priority list. We also discovered, you know, that speed was an issue here as well. Not necessarily access all the time, but access to an adequate speed to conduct business and other activities that are more and more moving to online. If you're familiar with the transition to electronic medical records, that's going to be, you know, you talked about the incident you had over the weekend. That's going to be really impactful. They often talk about how paramedics and first responders will one day be able to take a person's medical information right from the mobile unit and then be able to transfer that to the hospital before the patient even arrives to better serve that person in an emergency situation. So more and more healthcare is going to be a huge user of broadband, which means high capacity. To send x-rays, to send information like that is going to be one day just suck up bandwidth. We've talked about residents not having access to email addresses and home computers. That's going to be a huge issue as well. They are going to make electronic medical records one day accessible to customers and consumers as well. So you'll be able to access your own healthcare record from your home. So that's a movement too. You know, residents need home computers and they need access to reliable speeds at their home. The last thing on there that I really wanted to talk about, and public safety has been a hot topic today here. When I didn't plan it, but somebody planted public safety. The state has just received a grant to create an interoperable public safety network across the state that will also one day speak to a national network. The intent of that network is after September 11th, they realized that there was a huge gap in public safety communications. Firefighters couldn't talk to police officers, and police officers couldn't talk to paramedics. So the intent with the new public safety network is to allow those entities to speak to each other and to get what they call priority over other calls so that they could basically take over a network and kick everyone off and use it in emergency and disaster situations. So the state has recently received a grant to develop this plan to create an interoperable network across the state, which includes, and in all honesty, where rural communities will be a priority because they have the biggest access issues. So something that the reason it's on this priority list and why it's on most communities' priority lists is because as the Department of Public Safety starts to look at the assets they have, they're not just going to look at state assets. They're also going to look at county and local assets, which in some cases can be some kind of creative assets because you're talking about anything that could serve as a public safety tower. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a traditional communications tower. So what our message is in this is to start at the county level to think about the assets you have in this community at the county, even through private industry or through, you know, residents, what you all have that could potentially serve that network. And as they move out, they're going to start gathering those assets and mapping them on our, you know, mapping them and determining, you know, how to create this statewide network. So that's the majority of the reason why this is a huge priority for the state and should be for the county as well, to be able to communicate at the state and national level. So, Debbie, do you want to finish that?
So now the question becomes, what's next? With these priority projects, we recommend that the technology team
start putting together, select which project is the most, a project or two that is most beneficial to the county at this point, maybe public safety, and then put together a team, a sub-team of the technology team to start working on those and start working towards the goals of those projects. And we at Connect Nevada are here to help support that if support is needed or questions, and to help move forward with those projects. So any questions at this time or anything we can clarify?
I'm surprised we came out as good as we did.
I'd like to make just a couple observations. I mean, first, obviously, it's a disappointment not to get to the 100 mark, but if you really look at what we are and how diverse we are, it was an uphill battle from the get-go, and we knew that. The fact that there's essentially one provider in our majority-occupied housing subdivision with variable speeds, I'll be politically correct, is a challenge, but at least there's coverage out there. So that was definitely gives us things to work on, but I want to mostly just compliment, you know, not only the internal team here, James, Sherry Nevin in particular, and others, but also Lindsay and Debbie that have been phenomenal to work with. I mean, this is, we made partnerships. Kevin from Arizona Tower?
Arizona Nevada Tower, yeah.
Has helped James immeasurably save us thousands of dollars in a given year.
Just providing 10x10 speeds that AT&T was literally 10 times the price.
Yeah, so, I mean, just those partnerships that come out of truly national projects. I mean, one thing Debbie hasn't said that I'm sure is in here, the way this got my interest initially was the fact that the federal government, give them credit where credit is due, apparently took a look at this and said, well, in the 1950s and 60s, we needed to get telephone out to all of our residents. And when you look at it in terms of 2010, 2015 terms, this is the next wave of trying to get high-speed internet broadband, you know, connections out there. So it's been a great process. It's been, what, Debbie, probably 18 months, I think, 16, 18?
About a year, a little over a year, yeah.
And it isn't over, but we've got a roadmap now. And we'll leave it in Sherry and James's hands to kind of, you know, keep moving us forward with it, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You guys need a little break?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right, we'll take about a 10-minute recess.